And in our exercise of late, looking at the Spirit of God's ministry and reminding ourselves that He is absolutely indispensable. He is the one that makes all of God's wonderful person and His saving grace for real. Apart from Him, nothing's going to happen. So, and we share together in looking at that the fruit, verse 22 of Galatians and chapter 5, the fruit, singular fruit of the Spirit. And then this 9 fruits representing a whole pile of them, all of them. And thus the fruit, the life of the tree, using a tree, a vine tree, and the life of the tree is in the branches. And in the branches show the life of the tree by their leaves and the fruit. The fruit is the life of the tree. The fruit of the Spirit is the life of God in His most wonderful way. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, all of those, the characteristic of God, and then you list love, joy, peace, all of these wonderful things, attributes, etc., are found in God, in the life of God. And it lists 9 of them to give you representing the whole. And we share together so that God, in His wonderful person, in the heart of the believer, is being God. How much God? He's being all that He is. He can never be less than He is. So therefore, the life of God, there's always all of the life. Everything about God is always there, every single second, using time of God. So all of that, love, joy, peace, all of it exists at once. So, and we looked at love, we looked at joy, we looked at peace a little bit, all of that which is found in God, in you, in the believing heart. And now, looking at the next little word, long-suffering. And long-suffering is a word, and to get that a little bit, just think of the word long, and you will find it in Matthew and that. They had long prayers. Not only has it got to do with time, it has to do with distance. And therefore, the prodigal son went what? He left his home to go to a far country, far, distance. Got that word? Now we take that word and connect it to the next word, which is minded. And think of the word wind, air, storm, passion, blowing, strong, minded, moving fast, moving with strong strength, and thus the word wrong-minded, anger, wrath, etc. Passion, that's the word. Now we have the words together. Long before being wrathful, long before being angry, long distance. So here comes the arrow. But the arrow is taking time to get there. It hasn't arrived yet at the target. It's long distant way going to the target. Now you got the word. Long-minded, distance. It's a wonderful word. The Greeks did not use this word as a virtue. They didn't use this word, really, as a virtue. It wasn't very important to them. And when you think of the Greek and the language that they used in that day, they, Greek writers, the people that used the language, they would go, and the Greeks would never use the word, the opposite. It's always the opposite. Greeks would not use long-suffering. No, the Greek virtue, the Greek characteristic was, don't tolerate any insult, any injury. React to it instantly. Opposite. Long before being angry, God. But they don't use the word. No, you're short. Hit your target quickly. Anger. To respond. To give no space. To give no grace. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so you can see it a little bit, go over with me, please, to 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 13 for a minute, and to remind ourselves, 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, and you would remind yourself, if I can, I'll read verse 3, 13, 3. Love, 1 Corinthians, the love, charity. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, love, it profiteth me nothing. Charity, love, suffereth long. So, hang on to that. Here's the word suffer. Here's the word love. Here's long suffering. They're together. They're in a person. God's person is at once love, joy, peace, long suffering. It's all of that at once. It's a person. It goes together. We have what? We house hate and we house love. Patience, impatience. We house it. It's in us. So all the attributes of God, the wonderful characteristics of God, are with each other. Love is with long suffering. They go together. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. It's God's person. And you're letting God exercise his person. The Spirit of God's ministry is to fill the branch with the life of God in all of its wonderment. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, long before striking the target, now, how does that help us? Well, we'll do it and then you're going to see it. What does it do? Where would you be? Where would I be if God was not long before being angry? Where would you be? He waits for you and I to get the message to learn. If he didn't wait, we'd get clobbered. We take years to sink in. We sit in church for years to learn. And we have to hear it again and again. If God was not long before being angry, we'd be out of business. Now, so let's see it in action. Or if we can, looking at the little word to understand it. Go with me, please, over in your Bible to Romans and in chapter 2. Romans in chapter 2, picking up, please, or you'll catch it in verse 4. Romans 2, 4. I'll even read verse 3 for context. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? There's your word. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. If God was not slow to anger, who would ever get saved? Who would ever get saved? We'd have to come out of the womb, and the minute we could understand anything, be saved. Otherwise, it takes a little space. So therefore, the goodness of God, long-suffering, waiting for us to catch up, and put that together in the morning, which you're looking at, how am I going to understand God and his awesomeness? Got to get it. So now, over to chapter 9. And in chapter 9, going if I can, and you'll catch it again, in verse 21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured the long with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? What happens if he eliminated Pharaoh just like that? There would have been no years. No, he just could eliminate Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't know the Lord. He didn't, and he died not knowing the Lord. But God waited. God waited. He endured the vessels that were not going to get saved for years. Hang on. Now, so therefore, verse 22, what if willing to show his wrath, to make known his power, endured the, with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? God waited and waited. Now, to catch that real easy, he waited. Over to 1 Peter. And you'll see it. 1 Peter, vessels, long before being angry. 1 Peter chapter 3, picking up, if I may, you'll catch it in verse 19. Verse 20, which sometimes, I need to read that, I guess, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison after his resurrection, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. God waited, what? Before the arrow hit, 120 years. He could have caught it right off. No one else got saved, but he waited anyway, long before being angry. 120 years. So you can't say, if you lived in the days of Noah, well, I saw Noah building the ark for 119 years. I saw that. Now, if you had waited 130 years, I would have got saved, you see. No, God gave him, so there's no excuse. I gave you 120 years to make a decision, and you made a negative one. Only Noah made a positive one. So now, having said that, if I can, 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter, and in chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, picking up, if I may, verse 8. But beloved, 3:8, 2 Peter. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years in 1,000 years as one day. So that helps us understand God said, I'm coming right now. Right now. I want you to know I'm not using your clock. One day to me is 1,000 years. Whenever I want. It's my time. My time. Don't go by your clock. Go by my clock. Now you're waiting, God. Right. What are you waiting for? Verse 9. God, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is, there's your little word, long-suffering to usward, long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God gives space to the believing heart to stay, get right with God. God gives space to the unsaved heart to repent. God gives space to everybody to get there. God is long before being angry, wonderfully, wonderfully long before being angry. Sliding over, if I can, to verse 8:15. I'll read. You catch the context. Chapter 3, we read verse 9. But, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works thereof that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, manner of living, and godliness? In the light of it, we ought to pay attention to what's going to happen, where it's going to end. It looks like nothing's going on. Nothing's ever going to happen. Something is going to happen. And God is long before being angry, before it happens. 1,000 years, or as a day. God waits. God waits. And you know it. We'll say it again coming up. God has to wait. Because in Adam, when God created Adam and Eve, and they were to reproduce, that's how you and I came into the world. And we're sitting here right now because Adam and Eve were born. God made them. That's why. And when Adam and Eve sinned, we were all in that package. And God is obligated in some awesome way to wait till the rest of us come out in his wonderful person. He's waiting. Yes. Now, that's why we're here. Now, so therefore, verse 14, background. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. Why? That you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering, there you are, of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And now, what are you going to tell us some more? Right. Here's the Bible. Wonderful, wonderful truth. God so loved the world, believe and thou shalt be saved. That's the step one. That's the entrance. Now what? Now what's the rest? Which is all too often missing. Verse 16. As also in all his epistles, that's Paul, Galatians and Romans and Ephesians, in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, twist, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. And that's what you've got going more so in a pronounced way even in our day. What? Paul said all kinds of things. But They're hard to be understood. Are you surprised at that? No, because the Gospel of John, chapter 16, the Spirit of God's ministry is to convict and convince all human beings of sin, unbelief in the Lord Jesus, of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's verse 11 and verse 12. And by the way, our Lord said, I have many other things to say unto you, but you aren't able to take them in. It's good to be in the second grade, but you can't give fifth grade information to second graders. You got to let them catch up. You got to let them catch up. I have many things to say unto you, but you're not able to hear them. Here's Peter saying what? Paul has said wonderful things about being saved. And what does it mean to be saved? You have a unique relationship to God in Christ. Wow. And you don't understand it. You're a new creature in Christ. You're brand new. I don't look brand new. I don't feel brand new. Ah, but you are. Okay, now. Paul has, they're all, that's the gospel, Romans 6, 7, and 8, etc. You'll reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. How many people do you think understand that? Simple, wonderful truth. How many enjoy the truth of that truth? How many do you think? How many believers do you think do? Change. You see, oh, boy, would their life be different. Boy, would their life be different. You see, hard to be understood. If God was not but long before being angry, where would we ever be? And you know from just the way we are, us humans, and here we are sharing these truths over and over and over and over and over. And 63 years ago, I said the same thing to you. I know I did. I said the same thing 63 years ago. Now, how many years have gone by? And some still haven't got it. Still haven't got it. God's long before being angry. They haven't caught up yet. Haven't understood yet. But God waits. He waits. Now, so therefore, it's hard to be understood, unstable. And they twist the scriptures. And that's part of the problem out there, I think. People want to, Jesus, Easter, Christ rose again. It's all wonderful, wonderful. He lives. What does that mean? He lives. He's going to heaven. Is that what it means? He lives. How many people really understand? Christ in you has brought, God has brought himself into your heart. And you know that isn't common. You know that. You know that without even blinking an eyeball. That's rare. It's true, but it's very rare that God has found a home in your heart. It's very rare. No. No, we don't. So we got all these things, Roman Catholic and all of that. All of that stuff. It's not locked in to the root. It's resting on the top. And as long as there's no roots in the tree, in the bush, the wind can take it anywhere. Ephesians chapter, take it anywhere. Because it's not locked in. It has to be locked in. God, Genesis 1:1, God, lock it in. Etc., etc. Lock it in. It doesn't change. It's locked in. It's locked in. It's locked in. That, and that's what you want to get. Roots. And that's why we're headed where we are, down the corridor of time here, quicker than perhaps we know, with all of it, because we're excited about many things in many ways, but we aren't locked in. We're trusting the system. We're looking for authority, like we shared the other day. We're looking for authority. And remember, like I think we said Wednesday, whatever it was, the Protestant church has no authority. There's no authority. Presbyterianism, Congregationalism, Methodism, no. The only authority is back to Mother. The umbilical cord was never broken from the Reformation. And that's why we're headed right back there, Revelation 17. Right back where we're going. And that's where the system is, because we aren't paying attention to what are we doing and where are we believing and how are we believing. Therefore, therefore, verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. If you don't lock it in, you're going to get in the same dumb position they are. Verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord's and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, having that in mind a little bit, I hope you see it a little bit. That's right, God's long before being angry. Over to Luke, and in chapter 18. And in Luke, and chapter 18, if I may, and you would remember. Chapter 18, picking up, please. You'll catch it in the context, giving you a little bit of it. Verse 3, there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continued coming she weary me. And the Lord, now God's using that from a human standpoint, now from God's standpoint. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? He'll bear long with them, long before being angry. He's going to bear before it, day and night, before, in verse 7. The Lord will avenge them, which day and night unto him before he be along with them. God is going to do that. Now, what are you waiting for, God? In verse 18. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find truth, find faith? Little word the is in front of that word, not in your English, but in the Greek. Find the faith on the earth. When it says faith, that's subjective. The faith, objective. That's your Bible. What are you supposed to be believing? Subjective. I'm supposed to be believing God's word. The faith, the body of truth that is to be believed. Will I find the truth when I come? It's a rhetorical question. No. When I come, I'll take them home, the church home in grace. Is the church busy knowing the truth? No. No. I'm going to take him home anyway. You know, will I find the body of truth? And the answer is no, I'm not. So when we say, well, boy, no one knows, that's characteristic of the day in which we live. So therefore, having said that, sliding over, if I can, to 1 Timothy. And in 1 Timothy, picking up, please. Where are you, 1 Timothy? 1 Timothy and chapter 1. And you will note, here's the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul, in his wonderful, wonderful grace, is showing God's wonderful grace. And therefore, chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I am. Now, what did you do, Paul? As a Pharisee, in your zeal, what did you do? You went up and down in Acts 9 and hunted the Christians to imprison them, kill them, and tag them. You were a persecutor. Paul said, listen, and if God wasn't angry, if God wasn't patient long before being angry, I would have never got saved. I would have never got saved. Now, so therefore, howbeit for this cause, I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth what? All long-suffering. And I'm an example. I'm not just a guy that wasn't saved. I am a guy that was against everything being saved. And God was long before being angry. That's why I got saved. If God wasn't long before being angry, I would have never got saved. Nope. And so, for a pattern of them, a way to see something, a pattern to them, which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever, amen. And Paul exalts and honors God's wonderful, wonderful person in his most awesome and wonderful way. So now, having said that, 1 Timothy, go to 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, Paul, and chapter 3. And here's Paul. So Paul, you're going to help us. Yep. He's going to confirm it for us. Chapter 3, going if I can, over to verse 10. 3:10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, said Paul, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering. And I am long-suffering to the Corinthians, to the Ephesians, to the Galatians, because God has been long-suffering to me. I'm going to do it. I got it. I got the message. Now, long-suffering, charity, and patience. God has brought his wonderful person, and the Spirit of God is exercising the life of God in my little old heart, said Paul. And the Spirit of God exercising the life of God allows me to what? The long-suffering of God in my direction that saved and helped me is now flowing out of me. The inflow must outflow or else no flow. It has to flow. Otherwise, it's stagnant. It sits tight. Water doesn't go anywhere. It has to move. The life of God flowing in the leaves, in the fruit, it flows out in a most wonderful way. Now, in order to catch it, so we don't leave out the Old Testament, go over with me to Isaiah 48. Isaiah and chapter 48. And you will note. And if I can pick it up, you'll catch it. In chapter 48, Isaiah 48, going, if I can, to verse 9. For my name's sake, will I delay? I'm not going to speed it up. I'm going to procrastinate. Delay. For my name's sake, will I defer? Delay mine anger. I'm going to hold it back. For my praise, will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off? And the word refrain, to withhold. I refrain, to withhold. I hold back. I'm going to give you space. I'm going to give you grace and space to get saved. I'm going to give you the space. Thus in verse 11, for mine own sake, even for my own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? I will not give my glory unto another. No, God, you're going to be gracious in your most wonderful, wonderful way. And while you're in Isaiah, you see it, God's holding back. That's how God did everything, does everything. Over, if I can, Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 30, and you'll catch it. Jeremiah 30, going if I can, in verse 11, in the light of the context. Chapter 30, verse 11. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee. In other words, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, all of that has to be, history has to be outworked. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet I will not make a full end of thee. Each of them I judge, but Israel keeps alive. Each generation, each century, here's Israel. I have scattered them, yet I will not make a full end, N-O-T, not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and I will not leave thee altogether unpunished. You're going to go through whatever. I have a wonderful plan, but the plan has to be worked out, and it takes time. If I went and clobbered you now, like I did the nations, you'd never make it. So here you are over there in Israel, Iran, and all of those awesome things going on. And there you are, outworking. 200 years ago, 300 years ago, 400 years ago, wow. And there you still are. There you still are. Nations rise and fall. You're still there. I haven't finished. I'm going to finish. But I'm long before being angry. I have a plan. If I didn't give you space, what do you need space for? What do you know from Deuteronomy and chapter 4? You don't have to turn there. You know that Israel will not be saved until they go into the tribulation as a nation. They have to go into the tribulation as a nation, and they'll be saved as a nation. But they got to go through the tribulation. Right now, no tribulation. No. This is a little space and grace, long before being angry. But it's coming. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, over to Matthew chapter 18. in Matthew chapter 18. And you would remember. If I can, chapter 18. Picking up, go with me to verse 18:21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Boy, that's very gracious of you, Paul. I'm going to forgive you seven times, not eight. I'm going to forgive you seven times. Boy, what a good guy he is. I can hit his ankle, clip him in the, kick his knee seven times. He'll never say, but don't kick it the eighth time. Now Peter says, what do you think of that, Lord? Seven times. Verse 22, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but 70 times seven. I'm tired. 70 times, you got to wait. 70 times seven. I want you to, not seven, 70 times seven. Now, what are you trying to say, God? Verse 23. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. They brought to the king, and the guy owes him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience. That's the word long-suffering. Patience, long before being angry. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now the king said, nothing doing. Verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. But the same servant, the king forgave him, but the same servant who asked for patience to forgive him, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid not 1,000. And he 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience. Now that's what the guy asked the king, and the king was patient long before being angry to make the payment. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay his debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he called him, said unto him, O wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant? Even as I had pity on thee. His Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not, N-O-T, every one his brother that trespasses. I have dropped the charge against you. I gave you space, and you would not give anyone else space. What do we do? And all these things. We respond like the Greeks. We react to insult. We react to that which is against us. We react like this. We react like that. That's what we do. Instead of being long before being angry, we react like that. And God said, I don't want you to do that. I am not reacting to your slowness of heart. I am not reacting to your unbelief. I'm giving you space. You'll give everyone else space. Because why? We react like that. We respond to insult, whatever it is, things that we don't like, anger. That's what we do. That's what long suffering is. So you don't do that. You don't do that. Leadership can't do that. Leadership has to give space because we're humans and we react very quickly about anything and everything. And it's our old nature. You won't read about your old nature being long-suffering. You won't read about it. Your old nature isn't long-suffering. That's self. Self is the centerpiece. And so you can't do that. No, you have to look to God in his most wonderful, wonderful way to help us in every way. So now, having said that, you get the idea. God said, you didn't forgive. Hang on to all that. And God, you're going to help us. Yes. I'm going to give you space. I let you go to bed and get out of bed in the morning. Another day. Inch by inch. See what you can learn. And at least we're together. We're trying to learn. Most people aren't even here. They do what they want to do. I'm at least trying. We're trying. I'm trying to understand. I want to grow. I want to know. I just want to know. How can I practice anything if I don't know? I got to have it. And that's why I want to know. And that's what we all want to know. That's why we're looking at God's Word. So therefore, if I can, having said that and keeping that in mind, or if I can, to the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews, God's going to help us some more. In Hebrews in chapter 6, going, if I can, a little bit of context, verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that purpose, ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through patience, faith, patience, that's the word long-suffering, who through faith, patience, and long-suffering inherit the promises. They hang in there till they get it straight and get it clear. Verse 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Verse 14, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Verse 15, so after he had patiently, long-suffering, endured, he obtained the promise. He wouldn't get it right off. He had to catch up to it. He had to get it. Think of Abraham, if you would. Here's Abraham 25 years earlier, going to have Isaac. But where is Isaac? There is no Isaac. And so we're going to wait 25 years. We could have waited 30 years, whatever. What did God wait for? Romans chapter 4. God waited for what? To where Abraham was 100 and his wife's 90-something, 99 or whatever. Where they could never have a child. And God waited because you could have believed, but you didn't believe. You had Ishmael. You should have had Isaac. But, I'm going to wait until you can't have anything and you can't do anything. And then I'm going to do it. And you're going to be able to say what? You better believe me when I tell you something. You better believe me. Romans chapter 4. Wonderful. He endured hanging in there 25 more years till God wore him out. And Abraham said, it's impossible. God said, good. Now would you trust me for the impossible? And that's when you had Isaac. Yep. I'm going to wait till you can't. But we're going to do. No, God waits. No, because then we sort of feel we did something, or we had something. No, God wants it, so he gets the full credit in every way. So therefore, he endured, verse 15, and he obtained the promise in God's wonderful way. Over to James, right next door. Oh, you can't do two James. You can't do two James. Choir. We got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. Are you getting there? You better believe God's long before being angry and say, well, I don't have to learn. You don't understand that. He gave you space to learn. Well, I don't care. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to do that. Say, you don't have to do that. Yeah, you dummy. God's giving you space. He's giving you space. And 10 more years will go by. So you'll never be able to say, like in the days of Noah, you can never say, if you were lived in Noah's day, God, if you'd just given me 121 years. No. God said, I gave you 120 years. And that's enough. No more. And the day comes. No more. No more space. And then what? Romans chapter 1, and God gave them up. Romans chapter 1, Psalm 81. God gave them up to their own ways, and go do what you're going to do. Go do what you're going to do. Go do it. I won't bother with you. I don't want to hear that from God. I don't want to hear that. Anyway, I got to quit. Hope you got a little bit.